So am I.
I am redeemed to overcome. I am born of God, therefore I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, good morning, overcomer. Turn to somebody or wave to somebody on the screen and say, good morning, overcomer. Hallelujah. Even those of you who are on your phone, we can't see you, but we know you're there. We're greeting you. You are all overcomers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we are going to continue with our subject. Our theme for this month is waiting is a better way to advance. Everybody say that with me. Waiting is a better way to advance. There are other ways to advance, but waiting is one of the key ways. So you might want to grab your pen, grab your notebook, so that we can jump into the scripture as we continue in this part of the service. Amen. The question is, if you had a choice, how will you like to get to your next level? If you could choose, how will you like to get to your next level? How will you like to advance? What steps will you like to take in order to get to your next level? That question assumes that you have a next level that you are believing God for. That question assumes that you really want to move beyond where you are. Next level in my mind, therefore, means getting to a deeper relationship with God. Mean more stable in your Christian life. Your next level, in my mind, includes having your loved ones saved. Include having those people you have been praying for, God answering those prayers so that they can become children of God. Your next level in my mind includes healing. Those things you've been believing God for healing, those parts of your bodies that you've been wanting God to touch. In my mind, next level is getting that supernatural touch so that those pains, those aches, and those situations can change. In my mind, next level is getting that admission that you've been waiting for, getting that job that you've been waiting for, that miraculous open door that you've been believing God for. That's a next level. Whatever it is that is going to change your situation from where you are to where you desire to be, in my mind, that is a next level. And the question is, how would you want to get there if you had a choice? Can I make a suggestion to you? My suggestion to you is wait on the Lord for your next level. Everybody say, wait on the Lord for your next level. Before you think that is a passive suggestion, before you think that is one of those cliche Christian stuff, I want to take a time to think, what does it mean to wait? Now, here is part of the dictionary definition of waiting. The dictionary says to wait is to stay in a place of expectation for something. Everybody says stay in place of expectation. So waiting is not passive. It's to be expectant. The dictionary also says to wait means to wait your turn. And doesn't the Bible says, I know the thought that I have towards you, says the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you. He said they are plans of good, not of evil, to bring them to an expected end. So to wait means to wait for your hour of miracle. The dictionary also says to wait also means to serve as a waiter. Remember last week we talked about that? When you go to the restaurant, those people who work there, who give you food and give you water and all that, they are called waiters. Is that right? So to wait, therefore, means to be active. So what I have in mind, what I believe the Word of God has in mind when he said we should wait on him, is to be expectant and active. Everybody say that with me. Say expectant and active. Many of you have been expectant before, like when you're expecting a special delivery. Somebody calls you up and says, I mail a Christmas gift to you. You tell everybody in the house, I'm expecting a mail. Every time you hear the doorbell ring, guess what you do? You run there. You think that your package has arrived. You are expectant. If you are not at home, as soon as you come home, guess what? You're looking around. Did my package arrive? Because you are expectant. That is the spirit of a waiter. It's not a passive thing. It's an active involvement. So how will you want to get to your next level? How does God want us to get to our next level? God wants us to be active and expectant. Let me just say that one more time. To be active and expectant. So that's what we're discussing today. To get to your next level, wait on the Lord. Pastor, what do you mean? Be active and be expectant. Be involved. Get busy. Stay connected in what God is doing. Even in this season, find opportunities, find outlet to be involved. Be active, but at the same time, be expectant, because God is going to do something for you. Because God is going to visit you. Because God is going to show up and take you to your next level. Amen. So waiting on the Lord is a call to be active and be expectant. That is the kind of living that God wants us to. So when you call upon God with all of your heart in an expectant and active situation, God never fails to answer. If you are expecting promotion on the job, for example, the day you resign, all the process for your promotion stops. So the person who's waiting on the Lord is not the person who quits. If you are looking for a next level, I repeat myself intentionally, on the job, and you resign today, and your promotion was supposed to come next week, guess what? It's no longer coming, because you are no longer in service. Those who go to next level are not those who quit. Those who get advanced promotion, you know what I mean? Those who get lifted to their next level, they are not those who quit.
Hallelujah.
Conditions will come, situations will come, discouragement will come. Yes, every now and then you might even be depressed as a child of God, but you don't stay there. You don't allow those things to weigh you down. You snap it off by the word of God, by faith, and keep being active and keep being expected, because your next level is coming. Let me hear you say, my next level is coming. Say it again. My next level is coming in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you're ready, let us dig in. We read a beautiful story today. And remember that story as we dig into the next portion of our discussion today. Remember this, that the scripture was written for two audiences. You all remember that, right? There is the primary audience. Everybody say primary audience. Good. And there is a prophetic audience. Everybody say prophetic audience. And we are the prophetic audience. We are the ones that God had in mind when the word of God was written years ago. And remember this, that whatever the primary audience did and they got the answers, if we as the prophetic audience do the same thing, we will get the same answer. So I want you to pay close attention as we dig in now. So if you are ready for us to dig in, say, I'm ready. Okay, good. So you're ready. So point number one, as we dig deeper into this word. Number one, waiting provoked by impending enemy attack. So what I mean here, we're talking today about the motivations. What is it that motivates people to wait on the Lord? In this particular situation, it was provoked by impending attack. An enemy was coming against the nation, coming against the king. It could be provoked by something else in our own situation. Somebody tells you you might be losing your job next week. Somebody tells you something is going to happen. An impending situation is coming. A doctor's note, a situation in the family. You get a note, maybe in the next week or so, this or that, and that is going to happen. Something that is impending, something that is coming. It hasn't happened yet. These people got information. a group of enemies are coming to attack you. So waiting can be motivated by impending situation, impending attack, impending circumstance. So I don't know what you're already dealing with or what might be coming tomorrow. Pastor, are you prophesying problems? No, I am not. But we're living in a world that is infested by the evil. And this is why it's important for God's children to know what to do. Look at what the scripture says. 2 Chronicles, we're reading from verse number 1, chapter number 20. I'm reading quickly from verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 1 to 3. He said, after this, the Moabites and Amorites, with some of the Menites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a very vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazan Zantamar, that is Engedi. Now watch this, verse number 3. If you can see it on the screen, read with me. He said, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. This translation says, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So that's what we're talking about, friends. Waiting in this circumstance was provoked by impending bad news. First, the scripture says he was afraid. That's natural reaction. But that's not all that a believer should do. A believer must learn to take the next step as soon as the fear strikes. Jehoshaphat turned to God. Let me hear you say, I will turn to God. Now say it again, I will turn to God. Yet the news might come, and then you might lose a heartbeat. But as soon as you regain your consciousness, you know what I mean? As soon as you calm down, guess what you do? Whisper a prayer. Set in plan. You see, the day that you begin to plan, the day that you start building your resources, the day that you start putting together your war strategy, might not be the day that the problem comes. Okay, let me say it another way. That if the day the problem comes is the day you are going to learn to fight, it might be a difficult fight. Jehoshaphat was a person of prayer and fasting before this event happened. Excuse me. So don't wait until a problem comes before you learn how to pray, before you learn how to read the word. It's because it was already part of what he's been doing. That was why when the news came, the natural response came first, and he goes, no, I know what to do. Let me hear somebody say, I know what to do. Come on, say it again. Say, I know what to do. I have a God in heaven. So he turned to God. So situations can be provoked by circumstances. Look at what the scripture says in Micah chapter 7. Excuse me. Micah chapter 7, beginning from verse number 6. For a son dishonors his father against... a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are members of his own household. Watch that. Verse number 7. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Let me everybody say, my God will hear me. Everybody say it again. Say, my God will hear me. Watch what that scripture said. The scripture says this situation was not somebody coming from outside. Micah was saying the situation was in the house. Some of us have challenges like that. For Jehoshaphat, problem was coming from outside. Now, when problem is coming from outside, you can run home and close the door. But where do you run to when the problem is in the house? When it is something that is with you all the time. when something that is close to you, something you cannot get away from. But even in that circumstance, the scripture says, I will turn to God and I know God will hear me. I love this. I want you all to read with me verse number 8. Look at what it says. Before the enemy start to taunt you and the enemy start to give you another impression. Micah 7 and verse number 8. He said, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I declare today in the name of Jesus that you will rise. I say you will rise. I say you will rise in the name of Jesus. The devil cannot hold you down. The devil cannot hold God's people down. Yeah, there might be problems. There might be challenges. But you are not going to be where you are now forever. Let me hear you say that. My situation will change for the better. Say it again. My situation will change. That door will open. That healing will come. That miracle will happen. That desire will come. That admission will come in the name of Jesus. So you must not let the enemy hold you down. It says, my enemy, don't dance now. Don't have a party yet. Because it's not over until God says it's over. And that's what we're talking about. The person who waits is the person who is expectant. Is the person who is hopeful. Is the person who has faith. Is the person who refuses to fall down and stay down. The devil wants to keep you down. You must tell the devil, you cannot keep me down. I refuse to stay depressed. I refuse to stay sad. I refuse to continue to put my head down. No, I have a God that lives in heaven. That's what waiting on the Lord includes, my friends. And look at what the scripture says. It says, though I have fallen, future. Something greater is in my future than what is in my past. Number two, we're talking about motivation for waiting. Number one, we just finished talking about waiting that is provoked by situations. Now, here's another ingredient that is key in waiting. I say waiting prayers draws from past performance. Everybody say that again. Waiting prayers draws from past performance. What I mean by this is when you pray in the time of waiting, when you pay close attention to me, in the time of waiting, part of what happens is that everything around you seems to be negative. Everything around you seems to be falling apart. So you look around everywhere and there is nothing encouraging. Now, what do you do in that season? Let's get a clue from the scripture. We're going back now to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Look at what happened beginning from verse number 6. They began to pray now. Now, watch the prayer. This is the king leading the people in prayer. He said, and he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there no power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to thy seed Abraham, thy friend? And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, thou will hear and help. Past performance can be your key to getting to your next level. So Jehoshaphat said, we're not seeing anything here, but there is a record. Everybody say there's a record. Say, God, we know you did some things in the past. You opened the Red Sea. This land that we're living in right now, it was occupied by giants. But you knocked all of them out and you gave it to us. So you did that. I can see present situation. We are in a difficult situation now, but you are the God who has a record. Let me hear somebody say, my God has a record. Amen, somebody. He said, your God who has a record. You've done great things. And therefore, it's important for you and I to learn to rely on what God has done in the past. Amen? So it's important for you to learn to rely on what God has done in the past. So past performance is a key. This is why, friends, you need to learn to write some things down. This is why you need a journal, or in some places they call it a diary. Some of those prayers that God answered, some of those miracles that God did, some of those healings that God has given you before, in the time of sickness, in the times of need, when there's no money, you are broke, and you go back and remember that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you were broke, but God came through for you. And so you start going back to those things. They begin to give you strength to fight present battle. That's the kind of prayer that Jehoshaphat was praying. There's problem in the present, but I know God has a performance record. Amen, somebody. You see, the same thing applies in the natural world. Just sometimes when we read the word, we don't apply it. You see, before they promote somebody to the next level, guess part of what they do? They check your performance record. Is that right? If you are somebody who's been coming to work early, and when you come, you do your work, you are not a talkative, you are not lazy, you are not wasting the company's properties and all of that stuff. All of those things put together, they'll go on your record for your next promotion. But if you are the one that's lousy and lazy and always coming late and all of that, absent and everything like that, you have a poor performance. Therefore, it does not lead to promotion in many cases. Amen, somebody. But God has an excellent performance record. Let me everybody say, my God has an excellent performance record. So in part of you, what you do in time of waiting is go back to past performance. What has God done? The devil is telling you, you are not this, you are not that, you are not that. But you have a record of the things that God has done for you. Look at what the scripture says in Psalm chapter 77, verse number 5 and 6. Psalm chapter 77, it says this. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Verse 6 says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. So even for you as a person, what I'm saying today is this. In the time of waiting, sometimes you don't have strength for the now. But the psalmist says, I did what? I call to remembrance. Everybody say remembrance. Say it again, remembrance. He said, I call to remembrance. I remember the days I used to sing. I remember the days I used to worship. I remember the days I used to spend an hour in prayer. I remember the days I used to fast without any church declaring any prayer and fasting. I used to do that. So the devil is telling you, you are no good. Tell the devil you are a liar. I used to do that before. Guess what? I can go back. If I did it before, I can do it again. I remember the days I used to read 2 chapters of the Bible every day. I remember those days. That's what David is saying here. I searched. I went back. The devil is saying, no, you are not good now. I tell the devil, no, look at the record. That's not who I am. I have a record. I'm going back there. God helped me then. He can help me now. So the time of waiting, friends, sometimes when there is nothing in the presence, dig in your past. When everything around you seems to be disappointing, tell the devil, I've been saved for 10 years. I've not always been like this. So if I was consistent then, guess what? God will help me. I will go back then. Amen, somebody. So it's important that you maintain a record. It's so critical. So that when the devil is pointing to all the negative things around you, you can go to the past performance of God. You can go back to the past performance of what God has helped you to do. Look at what the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1 Timothy chapter 1, excuse me, chapter 1, beginning from verse number 4. This is Paul speaking, say, I greatly desire to see thee, being mindful of the tears that I may be filled with joy. Verse number 5, he said, when I call to remembrance, that's the word again. Everybody, if you can see it on the screen, read it. He said, when I'm reminded, King James says, when I call to remembrance of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Are you looking at it? So it's scriptural to look in the past. Paul says, I'm looking at somebody now that has a history of a grandmother who never gave up in prayer. Mother Lois prayed. Mother Lois was a woman of faith. And she passed that faith down to your mother Eunice. And because of that, you are a child of God today. Grandmothers, grandfathers online, please hear me well. Your prayers are not wasted. Your righteousness is not wasted. The Bible says God does not forget your labor of love. So God remembers. Paul says Timothy is a servant of God today because a grandmother sowed a seed. Because the mother also sowed a seed and watered it. Quick question for you, my friends. What spiritual seed are you sowing for your children? What are you depositing now that your children are going to reap from? What are you depositing now in the bank of heaven that your grandchildren are going to reap from? Young people online, I want you to hear me, please. It's critical for you to let the mighty hand of God rest upon you. Don't let the labor of your mother, the labor of your father, the labor of your grandparents go to waste. Timothy had the same excuse that every single one person today can have. Because they battled the challenges of their time and their season. So whatever it is that we're battling today is no good excuse, my friends, for us not to stay focused. In spite of all of that, Timothy stayed focused. But the key point here today is that God calls to remembrance. Men calls to remembrance. And you and I have done that many, many times. You run into somebody whose mother was a good friend to you. And you don't know the child from anywhere. But circumstance brings you together. And this person introduces himself or herself. So such and such and such a person is my father. Such and such a person is my mother. You go, wow. Whatever you need, I'll do it for you. Why? Because your mother was such a good friend. Your father was such a generous person to me. Amen, somebody. So remembrance is a key to advancing. Now, here is what Paul says in verse number 6. So looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I mean, 2 Timothy chapter 1, excuse me, verse number 6 now. He says, therefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou set up the gift of God which is in thee through the putting on of hands or through the laying on of my hands. Friends, maybe your back is aching, your stomach is aching. Something is in your body. Yeah, church has been closed for 3 months. And therefore, there's nobody to lay hands on you. Tell the devil, my pastor laid hands on me before. I was anointed before. This sickness, you can't stay here. The elders have prayed for me before. That anointing is still there. So I refuse to go down under the weight of whatever is happening there. Paul says, remember the prayers that were prayed for you. You children, remember the prayers your grandparents prayed. Remember the prayers your parents are praying. Remember the prayer that your church is praying for you. Remember those things. And for those reasons, rise up and stand and tell the devil to take his hands off your life. And he has no choice but to yield. Paul said to Timothy, remember, I laid my hands on you. That anointing cannot be allowed to waste. He says, stay it up now. So you can lay your hands on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, because of the prayer that has been prayed over me, because of the anointing that is upon my life, because of the hands that have been laid upon me, it happened, it's still there. I refuse to go down under the circumstance. I thought somebody will be praying now. Somebody will be praying now. Lay your hand on yourself and tell the devil, the spirit of depression, the spirit of distraction, the spirit of discouragement, say, prayer had been prayed for me before. Hands have been laid upon me. That anointing is not going with it. I rebuke you, Satan. I come against you in the name of Jesus. I refuse to allow that anointing to be wasted. Somebody put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. So in times of challenge, call on past performance. The past performance of God. The past performance of your own experience. The past performance of what has been invested in you. You learned the word. You've been prayed for. You've been taught the word. Yeah, you can't read anything new now, but you can go back. Amen, somebody. There are times that you need to go back and pull strength from the past. Let me show you one more scripture before I get on. 2 Kings chapter 20. I love this. I love this. 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning from verse number 1. The scripture says in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him. And he said unto him, thus says the Lord, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. Now just pause and think of that for 1 second, friends. This is a renowned prophet of God. Isaiah was no pushover prophet. He was a man that heard from God. And God tells him, go tell the king, he is going to die. He is not going to live. I don't know how many of us would be excited to go tell somebody that God says to tell you are going to die. That's not a good prophet. I mean, prophecy that anybody want to deliver. But a man of God who hears from God, that knows God is saying it, walked boldly to the house of the king and said, put your house in order. You are going to die. Now, here is the thing that I want you to learn. Look at what happened, verse number 2. I want you all to read. We're going to read verse number 2 and 3 together. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse number 3. I mean, 2 and 3, he says this. Then he turned his face to the wall. Say that again. Then he turned his face to the wall. Say one more time. He turned his face to the wall. What does that mean? He turned off his phone, turned off the television, closed the door, and said, no, this is a time to pray. The doctor said it. I hear it. The boss said it. The school said it. COVID-19 is raging. All those are facts. But guess what? I have access. Let me hear somebody say, I have access. Come on, come on, talk to me. Say, I have access. He said, I have access. Now, the present situation is not good. So what is the access? Look at verse number 3. What is the first word there? Remember. What's the first word there again? Remember. Everybody say it again. Remember. That's what we're talking about. There are times when that's all you have left. There's nothing good now. There's nothing hopeful in the future. But there's a past. It says, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your sight. So there are times when all you have is the record of your past faithfulness. The devil is telling you now, you are not this, you are not that, you are not that. You say, listen, devil, let me show you the record. When I had time, when things were different, I did this, I did that, I did that. Yeah, I'm not giving now, but guess what? Go check my record. I paid my tithes before. I gave my offering. I did it. I fasted. I prayed. I was involved in church. I did all of that. Hear me, friends. The Bible says God will not forget your labor of love. Sometimes, friends, what will deliver you in the present is a record from your past. Can I say that again? What will deliver you in the present problem is your record from the past. So sometimes some of us want to pray the prayer of Hezekiah. When you have time, read that passage and finish it. The scripture says that before Isaiah got out of that building, God told him, go back. Go tell my servant Hezekiah, I've heard his prayer. And I'm going to heal him. That's number one. He also said, I'm going to add 15 years unto his life. What? This is a man who was just supposed to be dying. But his record of the past had just transformed his present. Hear me, friends. You cannot go to knock on the door of heaven and say, God, remember. And God tells the angel, okay, go and bring his file. Go and bring her file. And they bring your file and it is empty. Bring her folder. Let me see all the record of what she's been doing. And they bring it and there's nothing there. God says, but there's nothing to remember. There's nothing to go back to. So every time you have an opportunity, like I said to you before, you must start making deposit in a bank of heaven. You must consistently make a deposit in a bank of heaven. Not even for somebody else, but for you. Because what you deposit in heaven might be what will be your key to the deliverance or to your moving to your next level in the next few days, in the next few months, in the next few years. Hezekiah didn't see this coming, but he was a faithful servant. Are you faithful now, friends? Are you dedicated now, friends? Are you serving God wholeheartedly now? Are you doing it? We don't want to wait until we have a problem. Then we start saying, God, do a miracle, do a miracle. Sometimes all you need to do is to pull up your past record and say, God, here is my record before you. And the devil will back off. It was the same prophet that told him, you're going to die, that came back and said, you're not going to die again. Does God change his mind? Yes, he does sometimes. He does. Because he's a compassionate God. Friends, we're talking about waiting as a key to advancing to the next level. And we're saying that waiting prayer does what? It draws from past performance. Because sometimes in times of waiting, the situation around you is not good. The challenges are there. There are needs. There are problems. So there's nothing in the presence. But you have a bank that you can go back to. Amen, somebody. So let's learn to wait. But as we wait, let's learn to go back to our records. If you do have a record, if you don't have one, guess what? It's time to start doing it now. Start building. Start depositing. Start serving God. Start doing it faithfully. Because what you do behind closed doors, the Bible says God sees it. So it's not just whether pastor is seeing it or not. Oh, we're not in church now. So, yeah. No, it doesn't matter. Whether we're in church physically or not, God is seeing what you're doing. So be faithful. Be consistent. Because whatever you're doing, you are depositing in your bank. And nobody can draw from your bank account unless you give them permission. Amen, somebody. Come on, put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. That your past record will speak for you. And it will speak for you strongly. before every demonic coven in the name of Jesus. In the presence of every situation, your record can speak for you. Hezekiah says, remember. And he began to pour it down. And the devil could not argue it. Number three, we're talking about waiting, the motivation, and here's part of how you do it. Number three, waiting people attracts God's attention. Everybody read that with me. Waiting people attracts God's attention. Amen. Anybody who waits on the Lord will attract the attention of God. Remember, we've taught you before. Now, one of the prayers that God cannot answer, not will not, but cannot, is the prayer that what? You have not prayed. Because God looks at your record of prayer, because actually the Bible says that our prayers are deposited in heaven. So there's an account there. So when God looks in there and there's no prayer there, then there's no nothing he can do. Waiting people attracts God's attention. Now look at what the scripture says. Verse number 13, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. I want us to read this together carefully. Verse 13 again, only verse 13. Let's do it again. Now here's what the scripture says. Everybody reading. It said, and all the men of Judah with their wives, and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Quick question for you. Who was not there? Okay, good. You got the right answer. Nobody. Everybody was there. The men were there. They came first. So all you men online, listen to me. It is your place. It is your responsibility to be the first in line to lead your children, to lead your family to church. All the men who are in the house today and you're watching TV in another room, that's not the place you should be. You should be online in church. All the men who are relaxing, doing something else, I want to hear what the word of God is saying. It is the man's responsibility to take the lead. So your boys, your young men, please, family, make sure, because it is their place of leadership. And the Bible said, with their wives and their children. And just in case you missed that, he said, it includes the little ones. Excuse me. So you little ones online, hear me. Serving God is not for old people. Okay, everybody say that. Serving God is not for old people alone. You know why? Because those who are old now were serving God when they are young, when they were young. Because if we didn't serve God when we were young, guess what? We'll not be serving God now. So you must learn. You must build that skill. So families, please don't leave your children out. We've made this emphasis a million times, and we're going to make it again and again. As you see in the scripture before us, children were involved. The little ones were involved. It was a time for prayer. And some of you say prayer is boring. Yes. If you think that way, there's nothing more exciting than prayer. Talking to the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Having access to the throne of grace. Nothing more exciting. It's something you must learn. Something you must do again and again. Families, teach your children to pray. Bring them to church. Encourage them to participate in the things of God. Because a time is coming when you will not be there and no human being will be able to help them. If they don't know God, they will be lost. But if you have built that in them, when no man can help them, when no situation is speaking anything positive, they will say, I know the God that my father served. I know the God that my mother served. I know the God that my grandparents served. I'm going to go to that God. And it begins now. It begins today. I cannot stress that enough. Let me go to the next verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, we're in verse number 14 now. Let's read. Then upon Zechariah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord." I love this. He said, "Be not afraid." This translation says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." Everybody say that with me. Say, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." If somebody is sitting next to you, turn to that person. Say, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." Come on, say with a smile. Turn to somebody else who's sitting next to you. Say, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." Amen. You see, there are things around you that could be discouraging. The result is not coming. The phone call is not coming. That email is not coming through. This is not happening. That's not happening. Friends, don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. Your God is not sleeping. Your God has not traveled. And that's what we're talking about today, friends. A time of waiting is not a time of passive inaction. It is a time of expectant involvement. Your God has not traveled. Let me hear you say, "My God has not traveled." I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be discouraged. Come on, say it again. Say it again. Say, "My God has not traveled. I refuse to be afraid, and I refuse to be discouraged." You see, those are the things that the enemy uses. He points your attention to only the things you can see and the negative, negative, negative. And the devil says, "You see, you've been going to church. You've been doing this. You've been giving your money. You've been giving your time. Now, what is that you're getting from it?" The devil is a liar. Say with me, the devil is a liar. So the prophet said, "Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." Now, let me say this before I finish reading. You see, most battles are won or lost on the inside. You know, sometimes somebody's looking at your face. He doesn't know the battle. The greatest battlefield is in the mind. If you win the battle of the mind, you win every battle outside. Because the scripture says, remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So don't let your mind be the play field of the devil. Devil jumping all around there, planting all kinds of stupid seeds. Tell him, "Satan, get out of my life. You don't belong there. In the name of Jesus, get out of my heart. You don't have a right to play on my mind. You are discouraged. You are depressed. You are only looking at the negative. I don't have this. I don't have this. This is not happening. This is not happening." The Bible says, don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. Those are two weapons that the devil uses when you take your eyes away from God and continue to focus on your circumstances. Fear will set in. Discouragement will set in. That phone call is not coming. But listen, friends, the moment you give up is the moment you close the door against possibilities. Remember the scriptures we read, Micah chapter 7 before. He said, "Even though I fall," he said, "I will rise again." If you fall and stay down, then you can't finish the race. Those who run marathons, sometimes some of them will stumble and fall. Those who do bike race, sometimes you watch them on television sometimes. They're doing bike race. Guess what they do? They stumble and they fall. Guess what they do? They get up, dust themselves up, and jump back on the bike. And sometimes some of them will end up winning. If you stay down, you will not finish the race. Let's finish reading that. Let's finish reading that. Now, here's what the scripture says. We're still in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse number 14. Let's go back there. Let's go to verse number 15. Verse number 15. And it said, "Hearken, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, Thus says the Lord unto thee. What happened here?
Jesus.
Can you see, hear me? Okay, fine. It's in, off here, but I'm sorry for that break. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Come on, somebody. Say with me, the battle is not mine. It is God's battle. Say it again. The battle is not mine. It belongs to God. And that's what the word of God says. Amen, somebody. So make sure that you continue to stand on the word of God. Stay. Make sure that you stay on the path. Because the word of God says the battle doesn't belong to you. The devil wants to make you think it is your problem. No, it's not your problem. It's God's problem. Amen, somebody. Now say what the word of God. Say, the battle is not mine. Say it again. Say, the battle is not mine. Say one more time. The battle is not mine. It is God's battle. So whatever the challenges are, my friends, the reason you need to wait on the Lord is that you position yourself for God to take over. Now look at what the scripture says in Joel chapter number 2. We're still talking about the family involvement, involving everybody. Joel chapter number 2, beginning from verse number 12. Now here's what the word of God says. Therefore also now says the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. See, that's another form of saying, wait on me. Now look at what the scripture says. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentant of the evil. Now let me jump to verse number 15. If you have verse number 15, everybody read it. Now here's what it says. It says, blow the trumpet, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Watch this now. Verse 16, everybody. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck their breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Again, who is left out? Nobody. Everybody should be involved. So it's time for church. Knock on every door in the house and tell everybody it's time for church, because everybody is supposed to be part of it. That's what helps a family to move forward. Nobody has a reason to be absent from the presence of God except you're working or something very serious happening. It's so critical because it is the place for your protection and for your salvation. When there's problem everywhere else, the only safe place is the presence of God. I say it again. When there's problem everywhere else, the only safe place is the presence of God. So you must learn to come into the presence of the Lord. We all remember Psalm 91, Psalm 92, all of those we quote. He that dwelleth in the presence of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I'll say of the Lord, he is my refuge, and all of those good things. But have you been living there? Have you been dwelling there? If you walk in there in time of crisis, you are a stranger. Okay, that's a long pause, and it was intentional. So, friends, we're going to move on. It's important that waiting people attract God's attention. Get your family involved. I'm not saying your family is not involved. Don't pray now. No, go ahead, keep doing it. But keep reminding them. Point number 4, and we're getting ready to wrap this up. Point number 4, waiting prayers evokes the power of God. To evoke means to stir up. So when you pray, God answers. And in the name of Jesus, God will answer you. Okay, say it again. In the name of Jesus, God will answer me. Okay, make it personal. You're praying for yourself now. Say, in the name of Jesus, God will answer me. So I don't know what you're waiting on God for. I don't know what that next level is. Remember, that's the question we started with. I'm getting ready to wrap this up now. I don't know what that next level is for you. If you had a choice, how will you want to get there? My suggestion is wait on the Lord. And here's the reason why. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 16. As we read and get this thing going. The scripture says, tomorrow, go ye down against them. Okay. Translation's on the screen. Everybody now. It says what? Tomorrow, march down against them. Now read that phrase one more time. Tomorrow, march down against them. This morning when I was meditating on that, I said, really? God? They've prayed. They're fasting. I thought you would say they should go home and sleep. Because you already said the battle is not their own, it's your battle. But guess what the word of God says? Tomorrow, go down there. Tell your neighbor, go down there. Yeah, somebody sitting next to you, yeah, tell them, go down there. There are times when, even though it is not depending on you, God is still expecting you to show up. So show up. Be there. You see, it will be exciting for you to see how God supernaturally intervenes in this situation. So again, waiting is not for people to go and sleep and pull the, what they call, the covers over their head and be depressed and be living in darkness. No, no, get involved. It is active involvement and active expectation. That's what waiting is. So when we say wait on the Lord, people say, well, that's all that Christians do. Christians are lazy. It's because they don't understand the word. It's because they don't understand what it means. Those who wait on the Lord are the busiest people. Those who wait on the Lord are the most active people. Those who wait on the Lord are the most involved people because they are looking for God to intervene and do something. And they want to be there when God does it. In the name of Jesus, you'll be there when God does your miracle. I say, in the name of Jesus, you'll be there when God does your miracle. I say, go down. But that translation says, march down there. Not tremble down there like weaklings. March down there because you're a soldier in the army. And guess what? The commander general of your army is the Lord who is mighty in battle. Put your hands together, somebody, and bless the name of the Lord. You're serving a God who is mighty in battle. So you're waiting on the Lord. You march down there with boldness and say, Satan, watch what my God is going to do. See how mighty my God is. Remember the story of little tiny David with a little string in his hand and a pebble of stone. Great and mighty Goliath, who had all the experience in the world, a fighter, oozing out all kinds of rubbish. And David says, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. Somebody say, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. Come on, say with a smile. Say, Satan, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. I mean, with a smile. Say it again. Say, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. David wasn't trembling. He walked down there and said, I am coming against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have defiled. And watch what I'm going to do to you. He said, I'm going to bring you down and I'm going to cut off your head. Can you imagine a 17-year-old boy saying that to a veteran whose shield David couldn't even carry, couldn't even lift it up? But because he stood on the word of God, it happened exactly that way. Let's finish reading so we can get into prayer now. I'm excited about what God is going to do in your life as you learn to wait. I'm excited about what God is going to do in my life as we learn to wait. I'm excited about what God is going to do in our church, in our country, in our nations, in our families, as we mobilize ourselves to get actively involved and consistently expectant. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zip, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Excuse me. Who but God can give all those details? Battle have not even started yet, but God already knows the details. This is exactly where they are coming from, and this is where they are going to be when you get there. See, people who pray get revelations. And they'll be wondering, how did you do that? How did you know that? Who told you? The one who has all secrets is your God. Amen. Verse number 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, and be not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go against them, for the Lord will be with you. I feel like screaming right now. For the Lord will be with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Go down against them. So God needs you there. So waiting is not a passive thing. It's one of the key emphasis that we're making today. You get involved. And God says, go there and I will show up. And you will see how mighty your God is. You will see how great your God is. You see how powerful your God is. And the scripture says, and they went. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped. We're talking about those who wait. Their prayers will evoke the power of God. God will show up on your behalf. Look at what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm only going to read verse number 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm only going to read part of verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16. Now, if you have it, you can all read it. Here's what it says. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Let's read just that part again. For the eyes of the Lord ranges throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose heart are committed to him. Now here's how King James says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. So God is looking for somebody on whose behalf to display his power. God is saying, I want to display my power on behalf of you, my daughter. I want to show up and prove to the devil how strong, how mighty I am. So as we begin to pray, I don't know what that fear is. I don't know what that threat is. I don't know what that challenge is. I want you to say, God, I'm stepping aside. I'm stepping aside. I'm stepping aside. Now go ahead. You're praying. Now you're praying. I say, God, I'm stepping aside. Holy Ghost, I'm stepping aside. I want you to step ahead of me. But I'm coming right behind you. I'm not afraid. I'm not going home. I'm not disappointed. I'm not closing the door. Father, in the name of Jesus, step into this battle. The same way you did it then, you can do it now. Because you are the same God yesterday. You are the same God today. Somebody is praying. Somebody is praying. Begin to speak to God. Begin to speak to that situation. Say, I'm stepping out of it. I'm releasing it to your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus. When you begin to talk to God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you serve a powerful God. You serve a miracle-working God. You serve a delivering God. You serve a God that do great and mighty things. Speak to God right now. In the name of Jesus, tell Satan, I refuse fear. I refuse discouragement. I refuse distraction. I stand on the authority of the word of God. Yes, my God is going before me. I am a waiting Christian. I'm an expectant Christian. I'm an active Christian. The God of heaven that did it in the Bible, he's able to do it in my day and in my time and in my situation. Tell him, if it is whatever that miracle is, be specific, be specific. The children of Israel in those days were facing enemies coming from all nations to fight them. Tell God what exactly that situation is. Is a healing need? Is an admission need? Is a miracle need? Is whatever that need is, a financial need, is a new job situation? Whatever that is, speak to God. Speak to God. This is your minute here right now. Go ahead and use it. In the name of Jesus, rainbow loko topo yikata, breaking the bo sakara kayekete, mingrika talaba yingere bo shakala. In the name of Jesus, the God of heaven, who stepped ahead of Jehoshaphat and the crowd that followed him. That is the same God that you serve. So every situation ahead of you today, whether it's a spiritual situation, a financial situation, an emotional situation, oh God of heaven, a healing need, whatever it is, rendebo sakarikata, mangerebo yakarebo lokondo bosikara, rekendebo shikaya, in the name of Jesus, even if it's the threat of COVID-19, I bring it all under subjection to the obedience of the name of Jesus. The God who says this battle belongs to me. He took it over then. He has not given it up. So therefore, every battle that your children are handing over to you, I declare in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, take it over and do what only you can do to the glory and the honor and the excellence of your mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Somebody stretch your hand. Stretch your hand. Just open both of your hands as I pray over you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as your children lift up their hands before you with their hands open, as a sign, Lord God Almighty, that they are releasing the problem, whatever those situations are, whatever those needs are, whatever those challenges are, it doesn't matter how long they have been there. Today, I command, according to your word, the battle does not belong to them anymore. You take it over from Jehoshaphat. Take this over now. Take it over now. Take it over now. In the name of Jesus, we release it unto you. You didn't lose that battle. You will not lose this one. To the glory and the excellence of your mighty name. Thank you, mighty God, because you are the great and the mighty God. We worship you. We magnify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Somebody put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Say, it is over. Let me hear you say it. Say it again. Say, it is over. Come on, come on. Say with confidence. Say, the battle is over because the Lord has taken it over. Come on, somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Mighty God, we thank you. We bless your name, Lord God.